sorry. So, have several announcements for us this morning. First, I want to welcome any visitors that we might have with us today. This is your first time visiting with us. We just ask that you would fill out a little visitor's card. You'll find it in the pew in front of you, and then just drop it off in the offering plate as it comes by. Big thank you to everyone who helped out with the wild game dinner last night. It was very successful, lots of yummy game that we got to eat. I did partake, and I'm still here today, so we're doing good. Just wanted to remind y'all, Friends and Family Day, that is our Easter egg hunt. That is coming up on March the 31st. That's a Saturday. It'll start at 9:30 with our pancake breakfast. And we're just asking the church family if you would like to donate some plastic Easter eggs and some individually wrapped candy to go in those eggs. That would be great. We're going to have a box in the small kitchen if you would like to donate any of that. Holy Week schedule. So, have a whole schedule here for you, so you can't say you didn't know, okay? This is going to be posted all around the church on our bulletin board with our calendar, and then also on our new Facebook page. If you have not liked, we have a new Facebook page now. If you will go on Facebook and check that out and like it and follow us, you can know all the good stuff that we're doing here at Flat Springs. But this week in particular, that Wednesday, March the 28th, we're going to be having some prayer stations. That's going to be a worship experience that the whole family can participate in. We're going to have the kids' hallway is going to be sectioned off for the kids to go through and do prayer stations. And then also in the new building, the adults are going to have prayer stations set up over here as well. That'll be from 6 to 7:15. And we would just invite everyone to come out and participate in that experience. It should be very meaningful. And then Thursday, we'll have the Monday-Thursday service at 6:30. And then Sunday, this is really important because it's a little bit different. We are going to be having the sunrise service, and that's going to start at 6:45. And then we'll immediately go into breakfast following that at 7:30. Sunday school at 8:30, and then morning worship service at 9:45. So just make note of that. Even if you don't make it out to the sunrise service, please, you know, join us. There's several opportunities there for you to show up. Just don't show up at 10:55 because we'll be leaving. Okay. Also wanted to point out to everyone that in your bulletin this week, you'll see something a little bit different. We're going to start having a prayer focus of the week. You'll see a little box there. This week's prayer focus is praying for your family. It gives you some notes there, some suggestions for how you can pray for your family and with your family. So just take note, as that will be different each week when you come here on Sunday morning. Also wanted to point out to you that we will be having a marriage retreat on April 27th and 28th. Our speakers will be Roger and Janet Sauls. Really excited about them coming. That is a great opportunity for couples to come and just spend some time together. Also wanted to point out, this is not marriage counseling. So don't feel like if you're coming to this, it's because your marriage is in trouble and everyone's going to be looking at you like, why are they going to that? No, it's not that kind of thing. We're trying to be proactive here and really spend some time together as couples. So the sign-up sheet is out in the atrium, and we would love to have everyone come out for that event. I just wanted to update you as well on some prayer concerns. Clyde Watson is in Central Carolina Hospital. Jerry Nance is at Wake Med and Cary, may be having surgery. We're still waiting to hear on that. And then, of course, the Peggy Shepherd family, we want to remember them in our prayers as well. And then also, one last announcement that I don't want to forget. Davis Harris needs some men to help move tables and chairs in the fellowship hall after church. He said it should take only about 3 hours, so no big deal. No, like 20 to 30 minutes. But if you have time, he would greatly appreciate the help. And now let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be in your house once again this morning, Lord. God, to be able to sing your praises and worship your name, and to just learn how to walk daily with you, God. We're so thankful for this opportunity. We want to lift up our church family that are in the hospital that we just mentioned, God, for Jerry and for Mr. Clyde. And we also pray for Miss Peggy Shepherd's family, God, as they are mourning the loss of her. God, I just pray that you be with us now, that you help us to focus on worshiping you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Two by two, they came into the ark, until finally all the animals and birds were aboard. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So there you have it. In Jesus' own words, just as people were unprepared for the judgment at the time of the flood, there will be those who are unprepared for Jesus' return. The message of Noah's Ark is this: don't wait until it's too late. Receive the love and forgiveness of Jesus now, while there's still time. Two by two, we came into the ark. But today, people receive salvation by faith in Christ, not two by two, but one by one.
This church is blessed with a lot of extended families, and we don't inherit our relationship with Jesus. It has to be one by one, and it is just so important that I found myself when I went off to college, when I was growing up, I thought I was probably living off my parents' faith. Didn't want to mess up my daddy's reputation in town. But when I got to college, I realized that God had established that faith within me to resist the things that I shouldn't be doing and to stay involved in church and all that. So, one by one. Let's turn to hymn number 538. Ask ye what great thing I know.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you have made. Thank you for bringing the people here today to hear your word and to worship you. Father, we ask that you might be with those that are sick, those that need your healing and soothing hands, be with them and bless them. Father, we ask that you might also bless these tithes and these offerings so that we might further thy kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
remain standing. Take your bulletin insert and pull that out. And this is a familiar tune, Green Sleeves. What child is this? We are people of God's peace.
I'm proud of y'all. Thank you. Okay, so I've asked y'all before if you've ever been afraid of anything, and y'all told me you weren't. However, I know that's not true. I know y'all have to be afraid of something. Is there anything you're afraid of?
I am.
You are. Okay, what are you afraid of?
A big monster.
Yeah, that's scary. That is scary. Yes, ma'am. Snakes and bears, yes. I am very afraid of snakes as well, yes. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not afraid of snakes. I'm not afraid of bears. I'm not afraid of any bugs. But I'm afraid of the dark when you can't see anything.
Yeah, of the dark when you can't see anything, that is definitely one of mine as well. Yes, ma'am. When your teacher gets mad? When your music teacher gets mad. Those music teachers, you gotta watch out for them. Oh my goodness, you really do. Did you have your hand raised? No? Okay. Well, guys, I get afraid of things too, even snakes, that's a big one for me. The dark, you can ask Kevin, I don't like the dark. We have a nightlight. And sometimes thunderstorms, things like that. And so when I was growing up, I don't know if you guys ever had one of these, but like a little blanket. Yeah. Sometimes that might bring you a little bit of peace, a little bit of comfort, right? Or a stuffed animal. When I was little, I had a bunk bed and I used to line my stuffed animals up and they were like a wall of protection. Yes, so nothing was coming because those animals were going to protect me. This is my little puffer penguin. He's cute, isn't he? Well, today in these verses I'm getting ready to read to you from John, the disciples were afraid because Jesus had told them, he was preparing them, that he was getting ready to go back to heaven. And the disciples were a little bit afraid because they said, well, what's going to happen to us when you leave? What about our enemies? Aren't they going to come after us? Shouldn't we be worried? And he told them, no, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. And this is what he said. This is from John chapter 14, verses 27 through 28. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. So right now on this earth, Jesus is not with us. He's in heaven. But he's promised us that one day he will come back for us. But until then, he has given us the Holy Spirit to provide us with a sense of peace. A peace of knowing that he's there and that he's going to protect us and he's going to watch out for us. And so we don't have to be afraid. And so it's good when we have our little stuffed animals or we have our blankets that bring us peace and comfort. But we can also have peace and comfort in knowing that God is looking out for us. Okay? Can we remember that this week? All right. Let's say a prayer together. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us and calms our fears. We also thank you for the promise that one day we will be in heaven with Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll be reading from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you will bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord will bless you and watch over you. The Lord will smile on you and be kind to you. The Lord will look on you with favor and give you peace. So whenever they use my name to bless the Israelites, I will bless them.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Master, Lord of our life, Redeemer, Savior, your name calls us to worship you. Lord, remind us that when we sing to you. When we pray to you. And when we worship you. And Lord, remind us that we've come today to praise you. We're not an audience, we're a congregation. We haven't come to be entertained. We've come to hear your voice and to be awed by you. And as we are in your presence, we find all we need for life and living. We are grateful that your house is full today. And we are grateful that your Spirit will fill our hearts if we open the door. You stand even now and knock and say, may I come in? And Lord, at first we may say, well, the house is a mess. Hear us when you say you'll come and help us clean it up. Help us, O Lord, to hear your voice.
For when we hear your voice, you give us a peace that passes understanding. And we long for that kind of peace. Our prayer and our worship is in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Calvary covers it all.
Thank you, choir. Isn't that good news that Calvary covers it all? Powerful. Thank you, Instruments of Christ, for reminding us that it is one by one that we come to the Lord. If you were at the Wild Games dinner last night, raise your hand. Anybody here? You can imagine, you can put your hands down, you can imagine my dismay when suddenly my phone began to ring this morning and folks said, we're going to the hospital. But I want to tell you that, and we do want to pray, Jerry may well be having surgery as we're speaking with kidney stones, and Clyde is at the hospital with some stomach issues. But they were not here last night at the Wild Game dinner. So, but I want to thank everybody for making that a significant point. We had a lot of folks here that I hadn't seen before. That's always part of our goal in that meal, and it was good. And so we had the Wild Game dinner, and our mystery meat last night was hog chitlins. And Bobby has always wanted to have chitlins here, so we killed two birds with one stone. You see how I did that? Wild Game dinner? Okay. Y'all got to stay with me today, okay? Stay with me. Open your Bibles to John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14. This is called the Passion Discourse. It started in chapter 12, and it will continue for several more chapters. Jesus has the disciples in the upper room, and he is giving them what they need before he heads to the cross. Easter's just a very few weeks away, so even now we begin to put our minds toward Jesus and who he is and what he has done for us. Look at the cover of your bulletin. There are two pictures there. One depicts, I guess it's Atlas, holding up the world. You may know that mythology. But I love the image. See him struggling under the weight of the world. See the weight that's just, the world's just crushing him. And he's down to one knee trying to hold it up. You know, probably there's someone in this room today. It feels like the world's on your shoulders. The second picture beside that is a depiction of Jesus holding the world, and you can almost see a smile on his face. It doesn't look like it's hard at all, does it? As he holds it in his hands, just almost in his fingertips, he's got it. He's got it. As we begin worship today, I wonder which picture more nearly represents our lives? Are we cumbered with a heavy weight? Or have we found the peace that Jesus left for us, not as the world gave, but as he gave? Our passage is found in John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 25 through 31. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's word. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper,
the Ruah, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you've loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I'll no longer talk too much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, and let us go from here. May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word. Pray with me. Lord, there's a spiritual battle taking place in this room right now. I guess it takes place every Sunday. Of whether we'll worship and whether we'll praise, of whether we'll hear your voice or just hear the preacher's voice. If it's the latter, just the preacher's voice, it'll have very little impact and very little influence on how we live this week. But oh God, if we heard your voice today in the message, in the music, in the prayers, and should we say, Lord, yes, I want to come and hear all that you have to say. I want to be all that you've created me to be. I want to do all that you place before me to your glory. And today we just were to confess our sin, confess our shortcomings, confess those decisions maybe that we've made about life and living that don't line up perfectly with your will. God, speak to us as we listen. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the early days of submarines, they began to make a discovery. And I am not nautical enough to give you all the terminology, but they called it the cushion of the sea. And what they discovered, because no one really knew, I don't guess, that when there was a tremendous storm raging, you could go deep enough to avoid the power of the storms. You could go deep enough in the water that although there was indeed a war raging on the outside, there was a storm blowing hard on top. When you reached the cushion of the sea, it was calm. It was peaceful. It was as it should be, as you wish it were. It was okay. I think in a way, maybe that's what Jesus was referring to when he spoke of the peace that he had to bring, the peace that he wanted to offer us. It was a very unique time. This is that transitioning moment when the Prince of Peace is about to confront the violence of sin, the violence of this world, the violence of disease, and all that is wrong in this world. He was about to face it nose to nose. As I was preparing this sermon, I began to ask myself this question. Why? Why did God have to do it this way? Have you ever thought about that? I'm not sure I've ever really thought that thought before. Why? And if God, who is as far as I know, still creating, why did Jesus have to come and die on the cross? I mean, couldn't he have figured something else out?
Why did he have to put on flesh and come and walk among us? Why did he have to experience what you and I experience every day? Now, our theology says sin separates us from God completely. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be smart enough to get there on your own. It's going to take God at work in your life. And this is how God chose. He sent Christ to come and live a life and demonstrate to us that it could be done. But I just thought, why not some other way? Why not a different way to be able to understand that God loves us other than the cross? Well, I know what I concluded. You can maybe toy with that some yourself. I think God wanted to show us love in such a way that brought peace even through sacrifice. Even through sacrifice. Even through giving up what is precious. He taught us peace. I'd ask you, what kind of peace do you have? For Jesus at this moment, just hours before the cross, he's teaching about peace. Isn't that amazing? He's going to struggle with it in his humanity in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will pray and sweat drops as blood. But yet, he says, and we just read it, "My peace I give to you." What kind of peace do we have? What kind of peace do you have in your life? I like what Epictetus, a philosopher from the first century, wrote in reference to Pax Romanae, that was the Roman peace that existed then throughout the civilized world. Rome said, "We brought peace to the world." That was their claim. While the and this is what the philosopher said. "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he's unable to give peace from passion, grief, or envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than even the outward peace." You know what that means, don't you? All right, you don't have to say amen to what I'm fixing to say. You don't even have to smile. I just want you to hear it. How many of you have gone to a family function when the peace was disturbed, but you showed outward peace? Okay? You know what I'm talking about? It wasn't okay inside, but it had to be okay outside. And so folks would walk up to you and say, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine. How are you?" You know what I found? Sometimes we live in that world. I'll greet you at the door, or Taylor or Jimmy as you go by, and they may well ask you, "How are you doing?" And you'll probably say, "Oh, good, fine, wonderful." You know my answer. I just say, "I'm blessed." I don't tip my hand, do I? You don't know whether it's good or bad. You just know I'm blessed because I am. But here's what I want to ask us today. Oh, we had a powerful worship experience last Sunday, didn't we? Amen. We really felt and experienced God's presence. And guess what? God's in the house today. God's in the house today. And God would like to continue what he did. What kind of peace do you have? Outward peace? You know, there's all kind of peace, isn't there? How many of you remember this? No child of the 60s in here? Come on now. I mean, that's... You'd walk down the street, "Hey, brother, peace, man." Yeah, I lived in those days. I'll give you an image of me coming to church with platform shoes, stay with me, a turtleneck, stay with me, a red medallion around my neck. Now, I was 14 years old, but son, I was getting it on. I want you to know. And everybody, that's peace, brother, peace. We went to church like that. You know what replaced those? Leisure suits. That's what we moved up to from that. Looks like society's always trying to move from somewhere to somewhere else. You know why? We want peace. We want peace. We do, don't we? We want peace in the family. Sometimes we hear terms like temporary peace. They just had a temporary peace in Syria. A ceasefire, they called it. And yet it didn't work. There's circumstantial peace. If you do this, then it'll be okay. There's that outward peace, and there's also that inner peace. We're going to spend some time there in just a moment. There's that peace of mind, world peace, fragile peace, disturbed peace. What kind of peace do you have? You know, the greatest message that could flow from this church would be peace. God's peace. That's what the folks on Deep River want more than anything else, is peace. That shalom, that peace that comes from God, that peace that says, it is well with my soul. You probably know that hymn, and you know why it's so beloved to be able to sing that confessionally. It is well with my soul. But these were very unique circumstances Jesus was teaching. He starts it off saying, I'm only going to be here a little while. I'm about to go. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in this place right now. And the Holy Spirit is even now before us saying, I'd like to give you peace. I'd like to give you peace that can stand the storm. I want you to find the cushion of the sea for your life. And even though storms will be raging, you don't have to rage with them. There's a great story of where I'm trying to say, and it comes from Jesus' life. He's just fed the 5,000. And he sent the disciples to take a boat and go across the lake, the sea, and he's going to meet them there. And early in the morning, they're struggling because a storm has blown up. And this is found in Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter. And the wind is beating against them. And it was the fourth watch. And all of a sudden, the disciples see Jesus walking on the water, and they're terrified. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. If you haven't looked for Jesus in a little while, when you first see him, he'll be terrified. He'll be scary. Because he's going to say there's some things we need to do, and that terrifies us. Jesus comes and he's walking. They don't know what's happening. And Jesus speaks to them. And he says, take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. Our sermon title today is Less Fear and More Peace. Less fear and more peace. What are you afraid of? Moms and dads, what are you afraid of? Husbands and wives, what are you afraid of? Christians, what are we afraid of? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, what are you afraid of? What brings you fear? And then my man Peter, good old Peter, probably the most real person in the Bible, who when he gets it right, he gets it all the way right. And when he gets it wrong, he gets it all the way wrong. And in this moment, he gets it right and gets it wrong in the same breath. And I see him almost as a mirror, because I see me. Verse 28 of Matthew 14. And Peter answered, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he, Jesus, said, come.
So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. He walked on the water and he came to Jesus. He got it right. I want to tell you, if there's a storm in your life, walk with Jesus on the water. He had overcome his fear. He had a peace. You don't step out of a boat in a raging storm in the middle of an ocean unless you feel like God's got this. And as he stepped out, it was all going well. He saw Jesus. He was walking to Jesus. He wasn't thinking about, he was walking on water. He was thinking about, I'm going to the Master. Today, I don't know what we're thinking about, but if we would think about coming to the Master and how we do everything we do, there's peace there. And Peter was walking. He was really doing something phenomenal. Anybody here want to do something phenomenal this week with God? And then there's verse 30 in our text, or in this text. But that's how verse 30 starts. But I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I really want God to be first in my life. But do we have any of those in our life? I really want God to go deep with me. I really want to talk with God every day. I really want to grow in my faith. But I really want to see our church be that bright light in this community, but I really want to walk with God. But, verse 30, but when he saw the wind, you don't see wind, you just see what wind does. When he saw the wind, his peace left him. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Are any of us sinking here today? We're sinking in our walk with God. We're sinking in our witness for God. We're sinking in some area of our daily devotion with God. We're sinking. We know we're not where we need to be, but every day that confounded wind begins to blow. And it just takes us off course. Well, Jesus immediately reached out, maybe like he's doing right now in this place. And he took him by his hand. And he chastised him. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? That's a good question, isn't it? Why do we doubt? And I want you to look at verse 32. Oh, and maybe just hear verse 32 for peace. More peace. Less fear. Verse 32 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. When Jesus got into the boat, when Jesus gets into our life, when Jesus gets into our daily planning, when Jesus gets into all that we have said, Lord, Lord, be in and with and through me, peace comes, the wind ceases. Oh, the ruler of the world always wants to challenge the Holy Spirit. In just a moment, they're going to be challenged again. I wonder where your fear is, where our fear is. Because we're about to come to an invitation. And Jesus is going to invite us to walk out on the water with him. He's going to say, I want you to have my peace. We're all living in bodies that are temporary, and he wants to give us peace. We're all living in time that's temporary, and he wants to give us peace. We're all living with struggles of daily life, He wants to give us peace. We're all struggling with relationships, with people that we love and care about. And He wants to give us peace. The peace prayer of St. Francis says these words. Lord, and I don't know if you listen to them. Ask yourself if not only would you say amen to them, but maybe if this could be your prayer right now in this moment as we hear these powerful words. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born unto eternal life. Do you want God's peace this morning? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never publicly told the world that He belongs to you and you belong to Him, then there's peace. And you can receive. If you're here today and you know your storm, are you going deep with God or are you trying to live with what I might call a surface faith that's right there on the top where all the wind is blowing and the waters are chopping and it's tough? And God invites us to go deep with Him, to receive His peace that passes our understanding. What did you say, Lord? You want to give us peace? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, there are storms in people's lives who are sitting in this congregation right now. And in just a moment, we're going to open your altar. And we're going to invite whosoever will to step out in faith and walk with you and receive your peace that passes understanding. For when Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished," I think the peace is what He had in mind. Salvation and the joy of making Him Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our heart and in our life. Lord, let us see if we are making decisions in how we are doing our life, how we're doing our family, how we're doing our work, how we're doing school, how we're doing community, how we're doing church, that might be disturbing the peace because we haven't gone deep with you. We're praying this week in a focus for our families. And we know family members that don't have peace. We pray for them. We know maybe even in our own life there's an area of great concern, a burden. And we're like Atlas on one knee, trying our best to hold the world up, telling everybody it's fine. But Lord, we know it's not fine. And then we see you saying, "Let me hold the world in my hand, and I will give you peace, and it will pass all understanding." You know the need of every heart. May there now be your great outpouring of your Spirit upon us
and may every decision that is made be made to your glory and for your honor. And Lord, thank you today for offering us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 663 this morning. If God is speaking to your heart, if you need that peace that passes understanding, we simply invite you and encourage you to respond to God as we stand together. In a very special way. And any of you guys have got about 3 hours to give us right after church? Not really. A few tables. The more that show up, the shorter it'll be. But I do. Davis has helped us a great deal, especially on this wild game dinner. And if we could help him now, that'd be a great, great thing as well. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, and in his power, and in his abiding presence, that we might be his people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you heard our heart today. My prayer now would be no one would leave without your peace in their heart and in their life. And for each one of us who made some adjustments today, because of your word, may you strengthen us as we live our life this week, that we might be able to implement your peace. And Lord, for our neighbors, for our co-workers, for those who go to school with us, who don't have your peace, make us instruments of your peace. In Jesus' name we pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
The Lord
make his face to shine upon you.
got it through. They don't
That's
know.
All that matters.
They don't know.
Hey, Jimmy, how long is it going to be till Monday, Thursday?